on, Norsterkenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Oh, wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink.
The finished conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
Make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 157 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Tuesday, February 27th. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about streaking stews and the trade deadline. In the studio with me, as always, is Mr. Kenny.
What up?
And Mr. Jive.
Good evening.
So, how did you survive snowpocalypse?
By getting
2018,
south.
Number two, maybe?
By heading south.
No one wants to hear about you going to Florida.
Well, I mean, I guess it kind of
the works. Land without hockey.
I guess it kind of works with the streaking thing because I did jump into the Atlantic naked.
No one wants to hear about.
Nobody if, wants to hear.
No
about
one
that.
Definitely wants to hear about that. nor sand in your crevices. No one wants to hear anything about that.
Well, we know he has sand in his crevices because he's. He's a pretty ornery dude. Oh.
He's got a sandbox?
Yeah, he's got a sandbox. No playing in my sandbox.
Oh, don't worry.
I don't even know how we go from there.
Yeah, not sure.
So, yeah, we had a little bit of snow here in Minnesota over the last few days.
Week-ish. Almost week.
Almost week, yeah.
5 days.
There's some good... Good mounds around town.
we're 13, I'm sorry.
No, if we're 13, well, or 10 or 11, like my son, you know, when I was like, we were pulling out of his school's parking lot today.
Sorry. 13.
And there's...
Pulling up.
There's the mound of snow there. And he's talking about how he needs to bring the ice chopper up there to, you know, work on a fort because it's perfect for a snow fort. So, yeah, because there are some very large mounds of snow. What's funny about a large mound of snow?
Very large mounds.
Very large mounds.
You guys never been out back to ice arena where the, you know, where the...
The Zamboni.
Zamboni dumps all the snow? Come on.
Large mounds.
Large mounds.
What am I supposed to say?
Big hills?
It's not a hill. A hill would be mean that there's...
Piles?
Piles?
Piles, okay.
Come on, we...
You're a pile, okay.
Better than a Gomer pile, maybe? I just did my reference there. I'm sorry. Anyway, maybe let's talk about hockey rather than about large mounds.
And sand and crevices.
And piles.
And piles.
Yeah, you didn't have that in your rundown.
Maybe I should have. So, we had 4 games this past week. We had 4 wins this past week. We had a back-to-back, actually it kind of continued from the New York trip with the Islanders that we had talked about last week.
Mm-hmm. A little East Coast.
A little East Coast trip. Where the
East Coast swing, if you will.
Maybe. You know, they got to hang out in New York for, you know, 4 days, 5 days, something like that. So,
if you're going to have a road trip, I mean, that's the way to do it, though. You get to hang out in the same spot, you know. You almost... get to start feeling like you're at home when you're there for, you know.
I did see stories of family all with some of the players and going out to eat on, mm-hmm. you know, some of their off nights.
Why not?
So I think it all worked out. And obviously it did work out well because we beat the Rangers 4-2. And then the next night with back-to-backs beat the Devils 4-2. And the next night beat the Rangers 4-1. So we got to see some Stalock action. He had 38 saves in the first game against the Devils.
We also got to see some Rangers fire sale action.
We did.
because as part of the trade deadline, they jettisoned two big pieces. So it was basically the run-up to getting rid of those players, Nash and McDonough. So
we've also seen a lot of point streaks coming up lately, too. So the Devils game, we got goals by Eriksson Ek. We got a goal by Staal, Riley, and Stewart. And two of those guys are no longer with us.
Yeah, you score a goal, we're going to get rid of you.
We're going to get rid of you. And then against the Rangers, pairs of goals from both Granny and Staal. Big nights for those guys. So, you know, the Wild win back-to-backs on the road. Granted, they were essentially living out of the same place for almost a week, so travel time was pretty much nil. They have four more sets of back-to-backs, all road games, before the end of the season right now. What types of results do you think we should expect from these? Because these aren't all going to be where they're living out of the same hotel. I think the closest they have is Anaheim and L.A.
I don't know. I think that, I mean, hopefully, you know, basically they've turned around what their, you know, what their action is on the road.
Yeah. I mean, you need to start winning some on the road, and they've been doing that recently. I think even through, since the beginning of the new year, they've, I know we've alluded to it in previous shows where it's like they're turning things, it felt like they're at least turning things around on the road. And I mean, this week is just continuing that. So, you know, whether or not that will equate in a back-to-back situation on the road.
I don't know.
You know, who knows, really. It's tough. It's a tough one.
So with that, we'll probably see some action from Stalock in these games as well. Coming down the stretch where it's obvious, it could potentially make a decision on where the Wild end up in standings. I mean, where's your confidence level with Stalock right now to get the W's on some of these?
I feel Stalock is, you know, more than capable of holding his own when we need somebody to step in there. I definitely think that he knows and plays his role very well as the backup goalie. You know, when he does come in, I mean, I don't feel that the team really misses a beat, you know.
Oh, no.
It can be either goalie in there, and he can feel secure that, you know, we've got decent goaltending behind us.
Yeah, no, Stalock has been solid. And I know we've talked about that over the last, you know, handful of episodes, but Stalock and Dubnyk play different games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pretty evident. But when Dubnyk has to sit because he needs a break, I think I got to be pretty comfortable with Stalock, and I'm a Stalock fan, so I'm good with it.
Obviously, not even when it's a break, because Stalock yeah. got the first game out the last time.
Yep. So.
Yeah, true.
Is he our new starter?
No.
I'm just kidding.
So after the little East Coast trip, New York trip, Wild were back at home again, beat the Sharks in overtime 3-2. Again, goal from Staal, Colin, and then Spurgeon got the game winner in overtime.
You're starting to sound like a broken record. You keep saying Staal.
Yeah, I'm stalling out here.
You got a
Staal.
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 Staal. You got a Staal.
You got a Staal. You got a Staal.
And then tonight.
Oh, wait, that was just Staal's mother.
all the four of them.
Yeah. You got a Staal. You got a Staal.
Everyone.
Tonight. Wild Blues. Wild smoked the Blues 8-3. Staal got a Hattie twice. Zucker, so Staal 5 points at the Hattie. Zucker got a goal, 5 points. Koivu got a goal, 2 points. Granny, 2 goals. Spurgeon with a goal. They tied the franchise record for most goals in a game.
Can you back up and just tell me who didn't get a goal?
It might be easier that way.
Right. Yeah, right. No kidding. Or who didn't get points?
Yeah.
So they tied the franchise record for most goals in a single game, previously also against the Hawks and the Predators.
Perds.
Perds. Yeah. So, you know, solid showing from the Wild, continuing this winning streak. So over the past five games, Stahl now has 12 points. Is he going to be a contender for Star of the Week 2 weeks in a row?
Oh, well, he has to be, right?
I would, yeah. I mean, it's highly likely. I mean, I think he's even pushing for, you know, things higher than
a weekly award.
Yeah, a weekly award. With the way he's played this year, so
he's been pretty amazing.
Yep.
And speaking of how he's playing, he's now at 33 goals, 19 games left. Does he hit the 40 goal mark? B, will he break the Wild franchise record of 42 goals set by Gabrick? And we'll continue on that after those.
Well, I mean, he's already pushed himself in the top five in goals in the league. So he's threatening, actually. Mm-hmm. Considering what we're paying him is pretty amazing, let's be honest. Whether he can catch up to Gabby's 07-08 number is... That's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be right on the edge.
Yep.
19 Although if, games, if, 9 goals.
If he continued on the same pace that he's been at for the last couple of weeks here, though, I think he would do it no problem.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, I think 40 is definitely attainable, and he would only be the second player, aside from Gabrick, to hit that 40-goal mark. Mm-hmm. Whether he can do it, I mean, he's on pace, too, but then again, he's scored... 3 goals tonight.
Yep.
So tonight's scoring is not indicative of tomorrow's scoring or the next day's.
No, it's not.
But you know, as long as he's scoring like he is, yeah, he's easily going to hit it. The question is, we haven't had that sort of consistency out of anyone this year.
Right.
You know, because he has been fairly consistent. He has, but inevitably Boudreaux,
the team around him falls apart.
And Boudreaux will shuffle up the lines, yep. And so who knows who he's paired with tomorrow, because he might try to parlay that streak out of Stahl into someone else and try to get some jumpstart someone else.
I think Boudreaux did allude to that in a interview where he said that he was actually, you know, kind of surprised with Stahl's performance right now and where he's at with goals, because he has changed up his line so many times. That not having the consistent pairing. But, I mean, you look right now, that line is absolutely just exploding with him and Granny and Zucker.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely can't complain about that. And like I say, I mean, beyond the week, yes. I mean, he's definitely pushing for it this week. But in the end, Stahl is, you know, he's making a good point for one of the bigger awards of the season if he, you know, within the NHL, if he continues up his current pace.
Absolutely. And then he's also at 64 points right now in the season. Gabrick again holds the record for most points with 83, and I believe that was the same year, the 08 season, where he got 42 goals. Does he have a chance of getting another 19 points to tie Gabrick in 19 games? Point a game?
I don't. Well, Mick, with the added goals, because I'm pretty sure that he's going to score a few more goals before the end of the season, I think there's a high likelihood that he does that, because you've got, as long as the line stays the same, which I don't know why Boudreaux would want to change anything at this point.
Right.
Now. He's got Zucker and Granlund on the sides. And, you know, even if Stahl's not the one putting it in the net, he's going to be able to, you know, count on either of those two to bury one home. So.
Well, I actually think the point one is probably more likely.
Yeah.
Just because of the way assists are given out today. I mean, it seems less and less likely that you're going to get have an unassisted or a one assist goal. I feel like those secondary assists come a little more freely today than they may have, you know, 15 years ago.
Right.
Or even 10 years ago. I think that's more likely. I think it's possible, but he's got to stay hot, and it's going to really depend on, you know, what Boudreaux decides his line is going to remain as, and we know that Boudreaux will shake things up, regardless of the win. You know, just because yesterday's success is not indicative of tomorrow's success.
That's true, and yeah. But that is also his job too, is to put the pieces in the right place to give us the best chance to win every night. So,
and it's tough because you want to play the hot hand, but you also want to make sure that you're energizing those guys that aren't scoring at the current moment. So, it's tough.
All right. So our weekly recap for our games was
We'll cover that in the
wild card.
In the wild card, yeah.
That's about it. Our highlights of the past week. A lot of stalling out.
Yeah. Speaking of stalling, we got a stall for trade deadline talk.
Okay.
We got some of that. Yeah.
All right.
Wild card. So while we're definitely not movers, shakers, they just kind of did whatever.
They just sat on it.
like Ralph Malph, Potsy. Potsy, sit on it.
Oh, is that
the... That's another data reference.
Is that Happy Days?
That's Happy Days, yes.
All right. Sunday, Monday.
So the Wild, two moves, two big moves the Wild made. First one is Mike Riley traded to the Habs. Fifth round pick in 2019 is the return. I mean, we obviously know nothing about the draft pick other than the round in the year.
Right.
So
could be the next Gretzky. You never know.
So do you think Riley's a fifth rounder in return, and did we get rid of Riley too soon, or did we already see what he's really capable of at this point?
Well, I mean, you know, he's been getting benched, or, you know, he's been healthy scratched,
mm-hmm.
So he's not getting the ice time. It frees up a little bit of space, not a whole lot, because I think he's still on entry level contract. I believe. But it does free up an extra roster spot if somebody were to come in.
Yeah, and the only part that I don't get is that, like you said, you know, it doesn't free up, you know, much for cap space. And obviously, you know, by the way things went, they weren't planning on any other big moves or anything like that. So, you know, if you maybe wanted to make that big move, you know, to give you that, you know, last push up, you know, make sure you make it into the playoffs and go far, you know, you might have wanted to maybe, you know, try moving somebody with a little bit higher salary.
Like we saw with the Rangers, who moved all their salary.
Yep. Pretty much. Rebuild.
But that's the problem, is the Wild are in a playoff spot and the Rangers weren't.
Right.
So once you start doing that, you're telegraphing, hey, we're out of it, to the fan base, really. Or are you not? I mean, or do you guys disagree with that?
I think
it depends on the other moves that you make, you know?
I think they were showing them that they were looking at, you know, rebuilding them a better team.
But I think if you're the Wild, I mean, who do you honestly move without... You'd have to have someone pretty substantial in return if you're going to move someone who's movable.
Sure.
And, you know, it's going to have to be like a Nino. What are you actually going to get in return that's going to be cheaper and better?
I don't think you will.
You're going to have a tough time.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was Fletcher or Boudreaux saying it, but I know Fletcher said he didn't want to make too many major moves because that's years past, it's happened, and it's basically you're throwing guys out on the ice now that are messing with the chemistry that you have.
He doesn't want to make any moves because he doesn't want to get fired.
Well, there's that too. And I think Boudreaux is probably pretty happy not having to get new guys, and I think I might be combining two different interviews right here. Mm-hmm. But Boudreau is also happy, saying, you know, yeah, we picked up, was it Hanzel and White last year, and now you got to slot these guys in somewhere, and you got guys that have been playing together most of the season that have
right.
gotten comfortable with each other, and now you got two guys that are potentially better, but now you got to find a spot for them, and you're moving some other guys around.
Well, and that brings up the good point. Like, yeah, do you guys actually even see, like, that glaring hole that needed to be filled? Oh, come on. I work with a bunch of teenagers. Jeez.
Oh. What were you saying? I
just stuff it with some sticks and call it good.
So, was there some things that needed to be actually even corrected on the Wild's roster that, you know, would have even, you know, made sense that they would have had to
what are the glaring weaknesses?
Yes.
Big mounds.
Big mounds.
If you got mounds on your ice, you're in trouble. There's nothing funny to say about that. Just answer the question.
So, where were the Wild's gaping holes, is what you're asking?
Were there any that they would have had to even fill, you know, that we would need to go out to get somebody like a Hanzel or a White?
I don't necessarily think so on the forward side. Oh. Obviously, I mean, there's some guys that aren't playing up to their potential right now. I think Nino's kind of slacking a little bit.
I think you got plenty of dead weight because you could go Nino, you could go Ennis, you could go yeah. Foligno, you could go Winnick. You got plenty of guys that are just like, they're there. And I mean,
everybody can't be a 20, 30 goal scorer.
That's fine. Provided you're not paying them as if they were 20 or 30 goal scorers.
Right.
And I'm not saying all those guys are, but, you know, Ennis is getting paid a lot for what he's not providing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as long as the guys that you have are producing what you're paying them, you know, basically their output per dollar. You know, whether it's, and it depends on the player, because some guys are maybe more of a playmaker or more of a physical player. So you got to pay commensurate with what their skill set is. But, you know, you're basically looking down the lineup or down the lines. I think, you know, we've got a lot of guys that are on the top lines that aren't moving or we can't move. Depending. But I think, you know, the bottom maybe five or six guys, I think there's upgrade potential. But I think that's where Fletcher was going. You know, we may be able to actually improve if we have, like, Cunning come up or if Greenway goes pro, you know, where they've got some flexibility in that regard.
Right.
Yeah, well, I know they did pull Cunning up.
Right.
Yeah.
They called him up, yeah, last night. So he's up here now.
I think
up in the press box.
Yes. Yeah. I think he'll
be playing.
Well, I think he was kind of expecting to be benched until he or healthy scratched. You know, he's like, I got to get, you know, a few things worked out and improved with my game a little bit, but you know, he's up there with that possibility. I mean, injuries happen.
And I don't think that they'll leave him up here. They're not looking to let him, you know, just sit on a shelf.
Right.
If they weren't going to use him, he wouldn't be up here.
Right.
Right.
He'd be down in experience.
Honestly, I mean, I think our D-core is looking pretty solid right now, especially having Brodin come back. I mean, he's coming back from a broken hand after, what, a couple of weeks? Right. 3 weeks. So who knows how 100, you know, I don't think he's 100%. But, you know, Suter, Spurgeon, Brodin,
Yeah, I mean, can he tape a stick to his hand? Is really
yeah, exactly. I've been liking Sealer's play.
You just have to tape the glove.
Right. True. Yeah. At least it'll fall off when someone slashes you.
Yeah. Sealer's been playing, I think, pretty solid when he's been up.
Not your hand, but the glove.
Oh, you sure?
I'm just imagining like a hand.
I took me a second to figure out where you're going with that.
But yeah.
Sorry.
How did we get anything accomplished around here?
I don't know. I wonder that almost every week.
So speaking of the bottom line, guys, also Chris Stewart was put on waivers, claimed by Calgary. He started the season with 6 goals in 6 games, and then since then he scored 3 goals in 41 games. So it was a bit of a drop-off. And that's 41 games played. That's not including the games where he's healthy scratched.
Yeah.
He's obviously in either a doghouse or maybe just he wasn't playing as well. I mean, because it's hard to argue with 3 goals in 41 games. What are your thoughts? Because I know we've got some Stewart fans here. Did we give up too early? Or was he just not getting enough playing time? Or was it just a cap space move?
I think part of it was playing time. Obviously, if he's going to be healthy scratched, you know, game after game, and you can clear up some of that space with him, go for it. He seemed pretty solid about it, too, like, going, it's just business. Like, I mean, you know, it needs to happen. And if he can get some more playing time in Calgary, great for him. I mean, I do like Stewart. I do think he's a stand-up guy. I think he's a, you know, started, like you said, Aaron, started off the season 6 goals in 6 games. And, I mean, obviously we can't expect an 82-goal scorer from Stewart. But, no, I mean, you know, he did kind of hit a drought and dried up a little bit. He was doing pretty well in the shootout, though, when we would go to the shootout. Was I think he's 3 for 4,
yeah,
something like that.
And he was a guy that we'd call on for physical play,
yeah,
too.
Right.
Which we still have Foligno.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. Did we give up? No, I don't know if we gave him up too early. I think it was bound to happen. At some point, just again,
you healthy scratch him that many times.
Exactly. Again, right. It's kind of like that dead weight situation.
Right.
And I don't know if I agree with all the healthy scratches, but obviously, I mean, it's a full roster that we have, and we've got, you know, decent players across the board. So just being an average player is obviously not going to get you very far. I do think that, you know, playing time, you know, has something to be said in there. You know, when you're playing in the top two lines, which, you know, if you go back to the beginning of the season, he was playing up there quite a bit because of all the injuries that we had in the beginning of the season.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when you are, you know, getting those top line minutes, you're also getting put in the game when, you know, there's a push on for, you know, when you're down on the fourth line or, you know, sometimes even as a third line, you're basically out there, you know, playing cleanup or whatever after everything else. So you don't maybe necessarily get all the same opportunities. That said, I'm not going to sit and make excuses for, you know, his stats being a little bit down. I think Stewart's still a great player. I'm sure he's got some more good years. I mean, this isn't the first run he's had with us.
Right.
Maybe he'll be back again sometime. Maybe not.
Who knows?
Yep. But, you know, hopefully wherever he goes, he gets, you know, playing time. Because, I mean, I'm sure a guy like him, you know, he's got some heart and he wants to, you know, get in there and do something for his team and play for his team. So, you know, hopefully he gets to at least play and not, you know, sit up in the press box.
I agree. So with that, we've got another 4-game set coming up this week. Next podcast will be a week from tonight on Tuesday. Another Tuesday show. On Thursday, we're in Arizona playing the Coyotes. And then a back-to-back on Friday in Colorado, facing the Avs. Sunday, we're at home against Detroit. And then Tuesday against Carolina, again at home.
So another late show next Tuesday.
Another late show Tuesday. You know, last week, Kenny called it and called the Wild sweep.
Nostrakenius.
Jive and I fell a little short. I was a little shorter than Jive, but we both fell a little short of Kenny's optimistic prediction. So with that, Kenny, what are you thinking for this week?
Oh, this week. You know, for whatever reason, Arizona's just kind of been a pain this year, even though they're kind of bottom of the league. For whatever reason, the Wild just not good. I'm going to go with a loss to Arizona. I'm going to go a win in Colorado. Win against Detroit. Overtime loss to Carolina. So that puts me at 2-3-5 this week for me.
Hmm. Jav, what are you thinking?
What'd you say? Two?
A loss to Arizona.
Yep.
A win in Colorado. Win against Detroit. And an overtime loss to Carolina.
Okay. All right. For me, I think that the Wild, they're playing, you know, they've got their game going right now. They're obviously on a 5-game win streak right now, so... there's nothing that can't be said about that, but it probably does have to end somewhere. I'm trying to remember what their longest win streak was. Was it 9 games? Not point streak, but win streak.
I thought we passed that last year.
Did we?
Yeah, I think so.
It's quite possible. but that said, I think that, you know, I don't know that we're ready for, you know, a 9-game win. At least one loss out there this week. I'm going to put it on the road when we're in Colorado, actually, but only an overtime loss. So I'm going to go with, once again, 7 points on the week.
It's an OT loss.
Loss to Colorado. Yep.
All right.
All right. And for me, I'm going to flip it up a little. I'm going to go with road wins, both in Arizona and Colorado. And I think we're going to lose one of the Detroit or Carolina games. Detroit's the one I think is we think we're going to win easily. So I think we're actually going to lose that one. And I think it'll be we'll follow it up with a win in Carolina. So that's what I'm going to go with.
All right.
So time for Twitter talk.
We got some Twitter questions.
All right.
Here we go. So let's get into those Twitter questions. Thank you, everybody, for sending in your questions. What? You didn't have a question? Send it in. Hashtag 3ITB.
Twat us.
Yeah.
Twat us, please.
Twat us.
Our first question of the night comes in from at Crease and Assist. One Mr. Derek Felska. Three in the box. Is this the best NHL commercial that has been produced in the last 4 years? Now this is referring to unfortunately, you know, when you're listening audibly here, it doesn't do you much, but it's the now the Sharks. He used to play for the Wild. Oh my goodness.
Brent Burns.
Dementia. Dementia. Oh, God.
Dementia.
Oh, man.
Wow. Dementia.
You guys kept me up past my bedtime tonight, you know.
We kept you up?
I'll be there in 15 minutes.
Hey, I was here before the end of the game. Well before the end of the game. But, no, so it's Burns and a his fellow teammate, and they've got a little... you know, wine tasting going on, and it is a pretty humorous one.
Dude, why are you spitting that out?
Right, exactly. But Derek was wondering, maybe Three in the Box should do their own commercial. And if so, what would it be?
I think, haven't we talked about this, doing a Buka commercial?
And not a box of wine, he said.
Not a box of wine.
A Buka commercial?
Buka commercial.
Yeah.
Well, there's some decent box wine, though.
Yeah?
I mean, you go to a lot of bars nowadays.
Most, a lot of them are, have been doing it for a while, like the Boda boxes or whatever.
Or the Black Box, I've seen that. There's a few different options that are, they're not bad. I mean, and I think a lot of times people, on, not to get into wine discussion, but Velska brought it up, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with a box wine. It's just a different vessel for booze. Is it not?
It is. I really prefer mine off of the frozen fountains. That's the vessel I like.
I thought you were going to say the wine jugs. Not that kind of jugs. I meant the clandestine sneak booze into the stadium.
Oh, like the
bra that the, holds are, wine.
What is it called? Because they got the
beer belly.
They got the beer belly.
And the wine jugs.
Is it the wine jugs?
It's called the wine jugs. It's like a plastic
bra. Essentially, yeah.
It's basically like plastic flasks, but just in a bra form. You fill it up with whatever booze and you suck stuff out of the teats, you know.
Well, you could have a straw hook to it.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Kind of like the old school beer helmets, you know?
And honestly, that's probably about the most genius place to put it because when you're going through any sort of a, you know, security line or anything, if I'm a female, the whoever's patting me down better not touch me there, right?
I don't think they even really pat you down anymore at the X. I think you just walk through the metal detector. Oh,
well, it depends.
Yeah.
It's getting more and more like TSA.
Yeah.
Right? You know. Yeah.
I had to take my belt off every damn time.
It's the only matter of time before you're taking your shoes off.
Mm-hmm. Dude. Yeah, it's...
that'll be lovely on a nice snowy night. Oh, you gotta come in and everybody's taking their shoes off in there. Then you step your socks in the nice, all that wet, like, oh.
Salty water.
They can't do that. Where is that? I am losing it today.
All right.
Today?
Next question.
Yeah.
From Crease and Assist. Three in the Box, Pawn Stars Chumlee recently attended a Golden Knights practice and played goalie. What Minnesota celebrity do you think the Minnesota Wild should dress, and would they be better than Chumlee was?
Hmm. And Felska puts celebrity in quotes, so you got to take that into consideration.
What about Louis Anderson?
Okay. I was going to go with Fancy Ray.
Ooh, Fancy Ray would be pretty hilarious.
That would be a good one.
I'm liking fancy.
How about Wally the Beer Man?
Oh.
I mean, he's kind of getting up there in age, though.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, break a hip.
Not that Louis Anderson or Fancy Ray aren't, you know, spring right. chickens
probably,
or anything.
They're probably getting up there, too, right?
Anyone below the age of, like, 25 is like, who are any of these people?
Everybody knows who Fancy Ray is. Actually, probably not.
Yeah.
They should at least know who Louis Anderson is.
What has Louis Anderson been in
lately? Yeah.
Lately.
Well, he had his cartoon.
In the 90s?
Is that the 90s already?
It was definitely in the 90s, yeah. All
right.
Yeah.
I know he's been doing a ton of stuff.
It's been a long time. I'm just going to say dated references all around. I don't know what current references we got.
I got gray in my beard. I got a right to that.
Louis Anderson's 64, so he's...
how young did he think he was?
I don't know.
You think he's like 10 years older than you?
No, I mean, I knew he was up there. 96 was the Louis show for CBS. Oh, he had Family Feud.
Okay.
It's
been a long time since Family Feud.
What's the guy's name now?
Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey. He's been doing it for a while now, so.
He's on Baskets on FX. I think that was just a partial role. Okay, so anyways, enough of that.
As Teresa Ferris in chat says, what about Lonnie Anderson or what about Richard Dean Anderson?
Ooh, hey. MacGyver.
Yeah,
let's bring on the dated references.
alumni of my high school.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, Washburn.
Ooh. Oh, Lonnie Anderson went to Roseville.
Roseville, huh?
Yeah.
Louis Anderson went to St. Paul, somewhere in St. Paul. He's from St. Paul.
Just generic St. Paul.
Just generic, yeah. Oh, he went to Johnson Senior High.
Eastsider.
St. Paul Johnson, yeah.
Eastsider. Sorry, Eastside. Anyway, next question from Teresa Ferris at MNSoda24. How much do you love El Capitan's $600,000 goal? Hashtag wild mathematics. I'm guessing that is the cost per goal Miko has scored.
That's the way
scored.
I would take that, yep.
That's how I'm taking it. You know, what about the intangibles?
Those are some wild mathematics.
I don't want to put too much stress on there are things you quote unquote can't measure because that is a very measurable thing.
Humanga's big.
Oh boy. We're all 13 here. but I think at a certain point if you're getting paid over whatever, you need to be scoring aside above and beyond those intangibles you are providing to the team. And I obviously it's been a much debated point amongst Wild fans whether or not Miko is providing that to the team. And I'm not certain that he is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think we have established as right now the way his play is, it's not detrimental to the team, but I don't know that it's worth the salary that we're paying him. Like, I still wouldn't mind having the guy on my team, but at a little bit lower rate. So, yeah, I don't think that we're loving that $600,000 goal.
Oh.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
So that was, what, number 10 on the season for him?
Yeah. So how many more than did he have than Stewie?
Not much.
Now, how much more time on ice did he have?
Quite a bit.
Intangibles.
Okay. Coming in hot.
Hey. He was, maybe Stewie was drinking too much Red Bull.
Maybe that's the problem.
Breaking the budget.
Yeah. His rider just did it all.
he was mainlining Red Bull before games. Put it in here. Still coming in hot.
All right.
Next question.
Next one. We got a kind of a twofer here. A little bit of talk about the trade deadline. First question comes in from Ty Sands, 42. Three in the box, the trade deadline. Who were the winners, and did the Wild make a good move getting the fifth for Riley? And now we already kind of talked a little bit earlier about Riley. But then also Minnesota Frosty Boy at MN Frosty Boy also asked us about the winners and the losers from the trade deadline. And then, you know, he also made mention here, you know, are any of these moves that will actually impact the Wild with their playoff chances? And, you know, I guess, I mean, we kind of talked briefly earlier about Riley, but I think, you know, he's saying, was it worth it for that fifth round, basically, is what he's asking. And, do we feel that Riley is worth a fifth round pick?
I don't know if I asked that. Maybe we never even answered it.
I think we finished.
As far as whether he's, I think he's probably worth more marginally. We just haven't seen him enough at the NHL level.
Right.
And he's made enough silly moves, but I don't think he's that much of a detriment where you couldn't have either held on to him for more value or got more value out of him.
Right.
At least like that's a third-round pick instead of fifth.
Fifth is like a desperation. It's like, I just need something for him. Right. I don't think that's an actual real... That's close to being a no value in return pick.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe though they, you know, the way he was developing throughout the year, though, they just weren't seeing a lot of upside with him. But, you know, I guess I don't know what call is to make on that. And I think, you know, Frost was asking about the losers in the draft. And I mean, I think that, you know, you made mention to it earlier, Aaron, that the team that, you know, went wholesale was the Rangers, right?
Yeah. I mean, they obviously lost players, but I think they got a lot of them in return.
Yeah.
Likewise, Tampa Bay, they got a lot because they got McDonough, which is obviously a big bolster to their lineup. Mm-hmm. They got JT Miller. So, I mean, I got to say, Tampa Bay seems like a big winner.
Probably the winner there.
Winnipeg, I think, did all right, too, getting
Stastny.
Getting Stastny from St. Louis.
And that's going to be the one that impacts us.
That is going to be the one that impacts us the most because we still have to play Winnipeg a few times, and we're also going to be fighting Winnipeg for a potential better spot in the playoffs. So,
yeah.
That one, I think that one is going to hurt the most. But we'll see. From Jay Bushy 19. Three in the box. Nino seems to be struggling still and hasn't found a good place on a line. Any thoughts to get him going?
Jeez. I think if we have an idea on what to get him going, Boudreaux should be calling us and putting us on the payroll.
Give him some of Stewie's Red Bull.
Yeah, get some Swiss Red Bull, get him some cheese
or
something.
Yes, that's what he needs. His parents need to come back into town with the chocolates.
Or cheese.
Is it cheese or chocolates that they're handing out? Yeah. I thought it was chocolates.
Six of one half.
That's cheese, man.
Swiss chocolate. Swiss Miss.
That's Swiss. There's chocolate, too.
Needs a Swiss Miss.
Swiss Miss.
Needs some cheesy chocolate.
He needs some Swiss Gold, not Swiss Miss.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I don't think he's been 100% since... I don't think his ankle's ever been 100% all season. You know, after taking that slapper from Spurgeon with it, I think it's just kind of been a slow healing process. I think he may have came back too early.
Well, but, and in that case, I mean, then when he goes out again, I mean, make sure you're coming back healthy, you know. Don't come back and, you know.
Well, you got to look at that point, too, where we're still down Parisi, and we had a couple other injuries in there, so it's kind of like the line was hurting, you know. So true. He could have trying to help the team out a little bit more.
Pushing himself a little bit.
But wouldn't it be better, you know, if that was the actual thing, though, you know, especially at this time in the season right now, you know, take a week off, you know, rehab it a little bit.
Sure.
Give one of the younger guys that we've got some NHL experience, especially as we're looking to push down to the playoffs here, you know, get Nino rested up. If he comes back and can play well, then that's great. If not, we've given some Joe from down below a chance to, you know, prove himself at the NHL level a little bit more and maybe even become a standout, you know, through the playoffs. Who's the guy from the Minnesota guy from Pittsburgh last year?
Cullen.
No. Begins with like a G.
Gensel,
there we go. Thank you. I mean, that's when he came on, was during the playoffs last year.
True.
Like, he blew up then, and now it's forced to be reckoned with.
Yeah, but I think if you do anything with Nino at this point, you're admitting that...
You shouldn't have been playing earlier.
Or you're starting to backtrack and say your trade for Nino, or not Nino, with Clutterbuck is maybe a wash at this point.
Yeah.
Because Nino is kind of plateauing.
Yeah.
Okay, now we got the yo lightning round. A whole bunch of yo questions.
Yo, yo, yo.
So this will be the yo lightning round. First question from at TySands42. Will head coach Mike Yo keep his job through the end of the season or end of the week? Kenny?
I think he'll stay on for the rest of the season. I mean, when the GM does a fire sale on Stastny and he kind of takes a big player out of his lineup, I think they got to at least give him a chance at the end of the season.
Is he here? Is he in St. Louis next year?
No.
Jive?
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely burning that candle, burning that wick pretty low, because it's looking like a similar story to what happened up here in Minnesota, where, yeah, great start, but then things just completely fell apart.
And I think he'll finish out the season, because, I mean, I guess that's possible.
Remember when Hitchcock left?
It was middle of the season.
Yeah.
So I'm not so confident that he'll stick around through the whole season. But at this point, you've already started to sell off prime players. You might as well just stick with them, because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to change gears at this point. Yeah. Next question from Tom Hain at thane88. Is it okay for Wild fans to say, see, told you, to Notes or Blues fans regarding yet another Yo swoon? Is it too soon? Is it okay? Kenny?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's okay.
I think it's probably too soon. They've had a rough patch here. Yes, we as Minnesota fans recognize that. But hey, you know, they're still, it's not like they're out of the playoff picture at this point now. But it is getting, you know, time that they got to do something and make a move, or they will be out of the playoffs. But I think they still got great talent up front there, and if they figure out what's going on with their goaltending, you know, maybe they can step back up.
And I got three words: Allen, Allen, Allen. Anyway, next question.
That was forwards.
No, that's three. If I said it four times, I'm sorry. last of the Yo lightning round, at MN Soda, Teresa Ferris. What is Brodziak's deja vu meter at right now with the Yo experiment part two? We're gonna put that on a scale of 1 to sipping water furiously. Kenny?
Sipping water furiously. I'm waiting for Brodziak to start thinking he's going to get traded again.
Jive.
So I'm feeling the same way. Brodziak's probably wondering that. And so is Yo going to follow Brodziak to that next place?
Maybe.
So Yo's whole career is based around Brodziak's PK ability. All right. Jive.
All right, next question comes in from T-Hane88. How long will it be before Bruce Boudreau slots Parisi in with Staal to jumpstart his game?
I don't see it happening right now, at least not with the line that they have going on. There's no way Boudreau should break up that line unless something crazy happens.
I think he totally will break it up, because that's what he does all year. If there's one thing we've learned, is Boudreau does not play the hot hand. So I think it's inevitable he will monkey with stuff.
Yeah.
And it's hard to argue with, because just because a team, a line is producing together today, does not mean they need to be together forever.
Right. And that said, too, I mean, you've seen things from Parisi. He's looking a lot like his old self coming back here.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely, at this point in the game now, I feel that, you know, maybe the weight was good, because, I mean, now that he's back, he seems very healthy. He's been able to play his physical game. But I've also seen a lot of finesse stuff. Even tonight, he made a beautiful pass to, I think it was Coyle. And, you know, but I think that he's not in, you know, he's not getting the same in return. But that pass to Coyle, you know, and Coyle could have, you know, easily, well, I don't want to say easily because, you know, there was maybe some, a player or two in the way, but, you know, another nice pass across ice and, you know, Parisi has a goal. But.
So you're kind of answering his next question then. Will Parisi make a positive impact on the roster before the playoffs start?
That would be correct. I would say that Parisi does make an impact.
I think he's going to be, I think at this point, I think he's going to be one of those guys who's going to be around. He's just not going to be lucky. And I think he's going to be in the play, but not enough to actually be actively participating in a way that amounts to points for him.
Is that going to change next year?
Unless he's with a different team, no. I just don't. I think Parisi's playing a young man's game, and he's getting older, and that's a bummer because I want to see him score and play at that level.
I think he's got some more goals left in him, so I'm not worried about that.
All right, and the last question from SJ Secor, friend of the show: what do the three in the box guys think about the spot to put down on my lawn chair for the Wild Stanley Cup parade? And he had a spot somewhere on Kellogg Boulevard, I believe.
Right on Kellogg Boulevard, right in front of, might be more down towards the River Center.
Or what,
Roy Wilkins?
It's pretty presumptuous to say that they're going to go down Kellogg.
Yeah.
I would think they'd go right down West 7th towards the Capitol. If I'm planning the parade route.
I'm trying to remember back to the Twins parades. Those were, but those in came Minneapolis all the time, yeah.
But then they're in St. Paul.
But yeah, they did. Because I remember going to one in downtown St. Paul.
Yeah.
I say let's get past round one of the playoffs first. And then we can start discussing on lawn chair spots.
Lawn chairs.
Yeah.
I think you have to go, you have to at least, I think you start at the Cathedral and go to the Capitol. And so I think Kellogg, unless you're on the west side of West 7th, I think Kellogg is a non-starter. That's my call for the parade route.
I think we just go straight down 94.
Yeah.
Just like a protest.
Protesters did that already.
Yeah. Right.
So it's the 94 Express bus?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's okay. Anyway.
All right.
Whew! What time is it?
That went south.
Yeah.
I think it's closing time.
Yep. It's time to wrap it up.
One last call for alcohol.
Yeah.
I don't care where you go, but you can't stay here. I'm talking to you two.
Well, then let's get this finished.
So, yeah, that's Twitter talk. Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NoisterKenius. And before I forget, I was supposed to do this at the top of the show. Shout out to our new fan who's from Montreal originally, who is now down in Miami. I was going to do that. So, yes. Thank you.
All right. Jive.
Yeah. You can follow me. I am on Twitter. I am at Jive Midnight.
As for myself, you can find me on Twitter at Angry Finn. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the show. You can follow us on Twitter at 3inTheBox. If you've got questions, send us those tweets. Hashtag 3ITB. We'll probably read them on the show. You can listen to our podcast on our website, 3inTheBox.com, or through your favorite podcast player. That is it for this week's episode. See ya!